Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo. Today we're going to be touching on a subject matter that I've had personal experience with, and many people whose paths I have crossed in life have had experiences with, and it's dealing with major illness and helping children to understand this. My guest today is Dr. Julie Silver. As a physician, this is something that has touched her life personally because she has a beautiful, beautiful family. In fact, her children put together a wonderful book, Our Mom is Getting Better. We're going to be talking about three different books that if you know of a family that is going through a very difficult time with perhaps a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or someone in the family that's suffering with cancer or some other devastating illnesses. These are three books that would be very, very good to have. But I want to welcome Dr. Julie Silver. Welcome to the show, Dr. Silver.
Hi, Donna. Thank you so much.
Well, it's an absolute delight to have you as a guest. And I know that each of these books are very much respected, appreciated, and endorsed by the American Cancer Society. Let's start with your children, and that's Alex, Emily, and Anna Rose Silver. And tell us how this book, Our Mom is Getting Better, actually there's two. You've got one for dads, Our Dad is Getting Better, and Our Mom is Getting Better. Tell us your personal story and how this book evolved.
Well, I was actually diagnosed with breast cancer in 2003, and my story really began a couple of years earlier when I was 36 years old, and I thought that maybe I felt something, and I went to the doctor and got worked up, and all the tests were negative, a mammogram and an ultrasound, and I went home and thought, you know, I'm always telling my patients they should get a second opinion if they're not sure about something, so I decided, okay, I'm going to go get a second opinion. I went and I got a second opinion and had another workup, and the doctor said, you know, you're 36 years old and you've seen a lot of sad things and you know, all your tests are negative. You're fine. Go home. Relax about this. And a couple of years later, I thought to myself, you know, I need to go back one more time. I have these three little kids at home, and I'm just not convinced that everything's fine. I had no family history, no reason to think that things weren't fine. I just was worried. So I went back for a third time, and the doctor came in and said, with tears in her eyes, and she said, you are right. You do have breast cancer. And, of course, it was not something I wanted to be right about. I would much rather have been a hypochondriac, but I was right. And that is when I was diagnosed, and, you know, a cancer diagnosis certainly touches not only the person who is diagnosed with the illness, but also the entire family.
Very much
so. And my children certainly went through the cancer diagnosis with me.
Now, explain to us, here you are a physician, and you're on the other side. Usually you're the one that's doing the examination, you're the one that's giving the people the verdicts, et cetera. You're on the other side now. You are the patient receiving this. How did you respond to the news? Now, intuitively, you knew something was not quite right with your body, that nothing was showing right away, but you knew it. You had this feel. You couldn't shake it. And following through and paying attention, I think you're to be complimented on that, because a lot of people in the medical profession don't do that. They don't give themselves that kind of attentiveness. And I think you're to be complimented for being able to do that and following through. But when you found this out and you had to go home to your family, how did you communicate that with your family? What was it that you found as a challenge to be able to share this with those that you love?
Well, there's a lot in there, Donna. First of all, it's so much easier to be a doctor than it is to be a patient. I certainly would much rather be on the caregiving end than on the care receiving end of things. But you know, we all have to face our own health issues at different times, and certainly I had to face mine. One thing that I would say about what made me go back to the doctor again and again was that, number one, I thought something was wrong, and I think that people have a better sense than about their own bodies than anyone else possibly could ever have. I mean, you know more about your own body than any doctor possibly could know because you live in it 24 mm-hmm. hours a day, 7 days a week, and you can't discount that. You can't discount the fact that there's just a real intelligence that we have about our own bodies. So even though the tests were negative, even though the doctors didn't feel what I thought I might be feeling, I still was worried and suspicious, and I acted on that on that suspicion. So, and I encourage people to do that, to really consider the fact that they know so much about their bodies that their doctors couldn't possibly know, and to trust their instincts like that. When I told my family, there's so many things about telling my family. Telling my mother was extremely hard. I called my mother and had it preset because she is she lives on a different coast than I do. She lives in California and I live in Boston. And so my brother and my sister were with her at the time when I called and told her. And I was trying to sort of lead up to this saying to her, Mom, you know, a lot of people survive cancer these days, and it's not the same kind of diagnosis that it was when you were younger, and, you know, sort of trying to lead up to the fact that I had been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom kept trying to hang up on me. And what I found out later was that my brother was sitting next to her so devastated that she was sure something terrible had happened to him, and she just wanted to get me off the phone so she could talk to him.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that funny? So, or ironic, I don't know if funny is quite the right word, but certainly ironic. I kept telling my mom, Mom, don't hang up. I have something to tell you. Mom, you know, listen. So that was devastating. It was absolutely devastating for my mother. I feel as though it aged her at least a decade. It really was terrible, as it would be terrible for me if my children gave me news like that about themselves. Telling my children, I had an 11-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 3-year-old at the time.
Oh, my.
And those were their ages. So I told them all separately, but obviously a 3-year-old understands things much differently than an 11-year-old
mm-hmm.
does. So they all understood things at very different levels and had their own reactions to things. My 3-year-old certainly didn't understand very much, and she said to me at one point, she said, Mommy, you just don't look pretty anymore. And that was really, isn't that an interesting thing to say? And, you know, that was really her way of saying, you know, something's really wrong here, but I just can't put my finger on it. My mom has told me she has cancer, but that doesn't really mean anything to me.
Right.
And all I can really see is that my mom doesn't look pretty anymore. So, you know, they all had their own reactions.
Well, with the age differences that you had, were the oldest child, was that child able to sort of fill in? Now, Alex is how old now?
He's 15. He's a freshman in high school now.
So when this book that was done by your children started to take form, what prompted your children to want to do this? Was it a family project?
Well, my work has really focused on rehabilitation medicine. And after I was diagnosed with cancer, I had a lot of insight about what cancer patients go through. And it's very different than what most people go through. If you are sick and you have, say, pneumonia, and you go to the doctor, you have a high fever and a cough and you feel terrible, and the doctor gives you medicine that makes you feel better. And that's that whole Hippocratic oath, first do no harm. Well, if you have cancer, oftentimes it's the opposite. You may feel better than you've ever felt in your entire life, and some kind of screening test picks it up, and then the doctor gives you medicine that makes you feel sicker and sicker and sicker until you're sicker than you've ever felt in your entire life, and then maybe you're done with treatment at that point. So you're sort of, you're left off at a very ill point rather than at a healthy point. And that, to me, was surprising and upsetting. I felt as though I really needed more help to physically recover because I'd felt so much better before I started treatment than after. And I had done some work with cancer survivors, helping to develop a program to help them physically recover. And I wrote a book called After Cancer Treatment, Heal Faster, Better, Stronger, about what it really takes to heal from cancer treatment. So the American Cancer Society had asked me to come and talk to them in their book publishing division about what kinds of books they should be really focusing on. And one of the things that I told them was you need to really focus on books about survivors because there's almost 11 million cancer survivors in this country, and they need books that will help them in all kinds of ways, physically recover, emotionally recover, deal with, you know, whatever they have to deal with after cancer. And so that's really where the idea came from, is from my meeting with them and talking to them about this whole phase of treatment, which is really the survivorship phase, and what we should be doing to help people during that phase.
Now, your son, Alex, and your daughter, Emily, and she's, what, about 12 years of age now?
She's 11, right.
She's 11, okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Emily did quite a bit of the artwork. What did Alex do, and did you do the text for the book?
I really didn't do anything for the book. The kids really did it all. Alex did the text, most of the text. Emily did a page or two, and Anna Rose did a page or two as well. And my two girls, Anna, who was 4 at the time, Anna was 6 at the time that she wrote that, I'm sorry. Anna was 6 at the time, and Emily is 4 years older, 10. They did all the pictures. They did everything. And you can really see that they're kids' drawings, but the truth is the drawings are better than I could do. I mean, every time I made a suggestion or did anything, it wasn't quite the right thing, and the truth is, they had a better vision for it than I did. They lived it,
wonderful.
And they knew the story. So they really did it.
Yes, they did. They did a fabulous job. And for those of you listening, my guest today is Dr. Silver, who is a cancer survivor herself. And I have with me, in front of me, 3 different books. And the first book that we were talking about is the one that her 3 children did. And there's actually 2. One is Our Dad is Getting Better, and the other one is Our Mom is Getting Better. And when I found out about these materials, I thought how often we are not aware of what children go through. So with Dr. Silver's family and with her personal experience and what she shared, that gives you some perspective. But the kids went and put this book together. It involves how, you know, what goes on with healing, and it shows, their artwork is just great because it shows the various phases. And just like you said, Dr. Silver, you may feel great at the beginning, but by the time you're at the end of this stuff, you've lost all your hair, you are in bed, you're not feeling well, you don't want to eat very much, and there is all of this discomfort. And your children did such a wonderful job with the art, their imagination, their clarity, and Alex did a great job with the script. I mean, it's beautifully, beautifully done. So this is something I know you're very proud of, and it's something I'm sure has been a stimulus for them as children and looking towards the future, especially with your son being in his first year of high school at 15. Now let's move on to a couple of other books that I have in front of me. I have A Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo, and then also a book, I Can Survive. Now, this Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo, it's very touching to me because it's all about a mother relating to a child what's wrong. Now, when you talk to children, just like you said, Dr. Silver, you had a three-year-old, you had, you know,
seven-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Yeah, an 11-year-old. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Right.
And so you had these age differences, and the three-year-old didn't understand very much. Now, with this book, Mom and the Polka Dot Boo-Boo, what age group would this relate to? Because children really do not know necessarily. They don't have a concept of what a disease such as cancer might be. This is a delightful book, but what age especially do you think that it's good for?
Well, it's really written for the under 10 age group, but honestly, older children looking through a book like this, even though it's a children's book, clearly, and it's not at their reading level, they still get a lot out of just the messages and the ideas behind them, because as you said, they're written and illustrated by people who have been through this, and there's a lot of themes that just resonate that they won't read or see other places. And that, I think that's what makes I Can Survive and Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo and Our Mom is Getting Better and Our Dad is Getting Better so special, that these books really resonate with families and kids who've had a cancer experience.
One of the biggest difficulties for a child, I think, is when people will have all of this fear. And when you have someone, I know because I've been there, when you've had someone make a statement to you, you have cancer, there's an automatic, I want to say, recoil that goes on psychologically, it affects you physiologically, and then to be able to use the C word and explain what's been going on with you or what you are going to have to do to correct this situation. It is, with children, if you don't share, all they're picking up, they're very intuitive. They pick up on all kinds of stuff, and it really is not a positive by not telling them. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just telling them once. It's talking to them over and over again because they don't understand what you're saying the first time you tell them, and you can't overwhelm them with details the first time that you talk to them. So as you go along, you have to reassure them and talk to them more and fill in more of the details. And also, things come up that need explaining. For instance, I used the word cancer with my kids right from the start, which I recommend that everyone do if they have to face that situation, because their kids will hear it elsewhere, and it's much better to use it yourself first and make sure that it's put in the right context. But I recall a time when I was walking with my middle child, Emily, who was 7 years old, and we were walking, and I came across an acquaintance, and the acquaintance said to me in front of Emily, "Oh, my goodness, I heard you have cancer. This is so terrible. You must be devastated," and just went on and on. And I'm watching Emily's face, and she's just getting more and more and more upset, and then she starts crying. And, you know, I finally am able to sort of stop this woman in her tracks, but the damage has been done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go back and talk to Emily again and say, remember I told you that when I was diagnosed with cancer that some people do die of cancer and that, you know, that there may be people who say that to you or make you worried about that, but that mommy's doctors think that they can help her. And so, you know, I had to, like, go back and say, remember we talked about this, and that people are, get really scared when they hear the word cancer, and that you know, it can mean bad things, you know, including dying. And so, you know, that was a really, really tough conversation and a tough encounter, and it stuck in my mind, and I know it stuck in my daughter's mind, too, you know, that there was no way to protect her, no way to shield her from this, and the only thing that I could do is to be honest with her and try to reassure her with honesty.
I think that's doing a tremendous service to the child. I think often we underestimate the resiliency of children, and I think when we try to insulate anybody too much, we're not doing them a service. And one of the things that I was very impressed with in the book on Mama's Getting Better and also Our Dad is Getting Better is the way that your children were able to recognize that you needed extra help, that there were things going on. And in the Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo, that is something that I really appreciated both with the illustrations as well as the simple script, because it was an explanation about how there's this little dot that Mom couldn't see and that it is something that's behind the skin and it needs to set it free. And I really liked that terminology. We're going to take it out of where it is and remove it. It's going to be set free. And I like that wording because a child can understand that. And then moving into the butterfly, using that as an example, and explaining to the child that Mom may lose her hair, and then there's going to be a time to go try on hats and wigs. You know, this, on one hand, this may seem rather a whimsical way, but with the art that goes along with the words, there is this communication that occurs with children, because I think storytelling is magical in and of itself. And when you have the children's art that goes along with it, it creates a magic of communication that you might not have otherwise, because kids have a different way of processing things and thinking about things.
I agree, absolutely. And, you know, one of the reasons why I love talking about these books is not only because my children wrote two of them. The Our Mom is Getting Better, by the way, is really their experience. And then the American Cancer Society asked them to do sort of a companion book as if the father had cancer. So the books are very similar but have a few different pictures and a little bit different text because it's the father. But one of the reasons why I love talking about these books, including I Can Survive and Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo, is because the American Cancer Society is really making a stand and saying we care about kids in this, and that this is really a family issue. And it's not just about the person who was diagnosed with cancer. And they've really given a voice to the kids and to the families that have gone through this and done it in a hopeful, positive way that that I think both explains things but also leaves kids feeling as though it's not horrible or terrible or, you know, whatever. I mean, I don't think that's the right message for kids.
Right, and I think it's putting the thoughts into the right positioning, that there is a realization. These are things that can happen. And it's fascinating with children. You don't need to necessarily go into tremendous detail with them. You can be very clear, and that's what I like about these books. The illustrations have a very, very nice clarity about them. And children perceive it, and they'll go, okay, if that's what I have to do, if Mom has to go to bed earlier, then Mom has to go to bed earlier. In fact, they'll make sure you go to bed earlier. Kids can, depending on their personality type, they will let you know if you're staying up too late or if there's something you're not eating or if you didn't take your medicine. There's that level of responsibility where they feel like they're participating in this, and if they can, they can help you. And they like feeling that way. They really do. Now, this one, I Can Survive, I found was very touching because the woman that wrote it because she had dealt with the stage 3 prostate cancer that her father had. And she said she had a dream of making her images and words accessible to all who wish to hope to try to survive any way they can. And that is why it's called I Can Survive. Jennifer Mae Allen is the woman that did this. Now, I found it interesting. She wrote her first book at the age of 9. Life is fascinating. Now, with this book, I Can Survive, of course, you could say it's for anyone. I mean, you could give it to an adult. But how does this book empower children?
Well, in the book, I Can Survive, as you know, the artwork is just stunning. And Jennifer is really a lovely person. My kids actually did some book signings with her, and she is just the nicest person. She really is a sweet person. She's a teacher, and the artwork is just beautiful, and I think that just looking at the different images and what she has to say is really inspiring to anyone. I think the I Can Survive book is not simply a children's book. It's also a gift book for anyone who may be undergoing cancer or cancer treatment. And it's just so beautiful and so wonderfully done that I think it inspires anyone. It certainly has a different feel than the stories that are told in Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo and Our Mom is Getting Better. Those are more story books and sort of tell the tale of what people go through than I Can Survive. But I think I Can Survive is incredibly inspiring.
Oh, I agree. In fact, I'll quote from it. Laughing, you smell like raspberry muffins and suddenly alone disappears into your hugs. I Can Survive. That is, I think, so, you know, very, very important. It's bright. It's colorful. I am always me. I will always be me, even when I'm scared, running 5 miles away, parachuting from airplanes and swimming into the deepest world. I remember I can survive. That is something that I feel that with so many people, when they go through their challenges, that just, like Jennifer says in here, I will survive, I'll be me no matter what or where. I may change outside and even in. Just wonderful, but I will always each and every day love to lick the brownie spoon. Nothing can change that. I can survive. I will survive. Julie, Dr. Julie Silver has been my guest. Dr. Silver, is there a website that people can go to find out more about these wonderful publications?
Absolutely. They can go to cancer.org, which is the American Cancer Society's main website, or they can go to amazon.com and look up the books individually. They're all on there. Those are two great resources. Another thing I'd love to share with people is that I am doing another book with the American Cancer Society right now called What Helped Get Me Through. And it's there's a website called www.whathelpedgetmethrough.org. And people can fill out a survey about what really made a difference in terms of helping them get through the cancer experience. And so far, the surveys have just been phenomenal in terms of the things that people have written about what helped them. And I can't wait to share this with people in a book form through the American Cancer Society in next year.
Now, give that website again so if people want to participate and submit information about what helped them get through their challenges with cancer. What is that again? WhatHelpedGetMeThrough.org.
WhatHelpedGetMeThrough.org.
Well, Dr. Julie Silver has been my guest. For anyone, if you know of a family that's going through something that's not a pleasant situation, a member of family that is ill with cancer, and there are children involved, you need to know that there are those publications out there. I Can Survive, Mom and the Polka Dot Boo Boo, and Our Mom is Getting Better, Our Dad is Getting Better. Go in to cancer.org. Take time to investigate this because it may be a wonderful, wonderful gift. The holidays are coming up. It might be just the thing to give to that special family that has a need to be able to help their children deal with a situation that they're all going to be working through. Dr. Silver, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna, and thanks for doing this show. I really appreciate it. I think it's a wonderful holiday message.
Thank you. It's been a delight. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open. And if you'd like to give me a buzz, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. 530-876-3222 is the other number, 530-876-3222. Now, also, I wanted to say for those of you who are brand new listeners to the Donna Sebo Show, we're so delighted you're able to join us. And what you need to know is when you call in, all you do is give your first name or initial, and then after that, let me do what I do best. And I'll give you perceptions that I receive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. Also, I want to bring up, for those of you in the state of Washington, if you happen to be in the Tacoma area this coming Saturday, I have been invited to participate in the 3rd annual Dickens Festival at the Stadium High locale in the downtown Tacoma area. They're going to have free carriage rides. There's all kinds of entertainment going on for the 6 hours. They're going to be opening the neighborhood areas from noon until 6. I am going to be appearing at the Tacoma Little Theater and doing many consultations to help interact with people, and also we'll be raising a little bit of money for the event. But I'm going to be there. I'll be in the lobby of the Tacoma Little Theater on I Street. So you'll be able to be there, and I'll be in costume, and I'm going to be doing readings for people while I'm there. If you'd like to have more information about what is going on where, go to the DickensFestival.net. The DickensFestival.net, and you'll have all of the information about this. Street performers, all kinds of merchants involved in this. A lot of fun. So you're going to want to do this. It sounds like we've got a caller on the line, do we?
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi. Is this Donna?
Yes, it's Donna. Give me your first name or your initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Holly. I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
From Chicago, one of my favorite cities. I love Chicago.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I live here, too.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
Early this year, my father passed away. I just want to know, how is he doing?
Give me your father's first name or initial.
His first name is Tobin.
All right. Now, when you gave me his name, the first image I got was of a man who is a craftsman. And what I'm looking at, I am seeing his hands. He's very much involved in creating things that to him our beauty. And I find it fascinating because what I'm focusing on your father, I am getting such a joy. And it's as if he has a chance to create magic. Now, this sounds very, very silly, perhaps, to someone listening to me saying this to you. But I think your father was very much like a child at heart. He loved storytelling. He had a twinkle in his eye many, many times. He would get so mischievous about doing certain things. Someone maybe at a time would have called him a prankster, but not really. He loved laughter. He loved art. He loved beauty. And apparently he's very much involved with that. He also was a man, as I'm being shown information in my head, who had a tremendous interest in anything related to health. But so much of his life, he felt like he had an obligation, a responsibility. And he did not have this, what I would feel, this sense of joy of having the freedom of doing a lot of what he wanted to do. I think your father had to work very, very hard in many ways, and there was often a sadness that could be felt by people that were close to him, and you couldn't put your finger on it. You didn't know what was missing. And I think what was missing is your father's creative style. So I would say, in response to your question, that there is such a sense of joy with your father that you need to know that there is going to be a number of times when there is this, I'll just call it a spot of brightness, that will be communicated to you in the most unusual ways. And you're just going to have this feel, and it comes into the middle of your chest, and then it's as if a chill just fills your whole being, and it's this chill, but yet it's warming. And then there's a sensation that's coming up into my throat area, and I just get this warmth. It's all the way through me, and it seems like that's the way your father is going to be able to communicate with you. But the one thing that I'm getting very, very strongly about him is that he wants you to keep on with the creative aspect of what means the most to you, whether it is doing murals, whether it's writing, whatever is your joy, do it. Because that's the one thing he regrets about his own life, is that he didn't give himself the time for joy. He doesn't really have much regret about the life that he lived, not at all. But he wants you to know that that's something that you need to do for yourself. But your father, he's just doing beautifully. I mean, he's involved in so much. I think he's affecting the lives of many people. But he's very close to the family, very, very close to the family.
Did he have any word for me, or?
I just did.
Yes,
did you hear what I said, hon? Were you able to hear it?
Yes. Not very clearly, though.
All right.
Well, and do you know where is he now?
No, I don't. I mean, to me, you see, whenever I make a connection, whenever there is information that's given to me, it's not a matter of trying to fit them into a box. You don't do that, in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's stop and think of the other side of life, just about the way that we live life here. You don't in life know where everybody is all the time, do you? Think of your own life. You're always moving, you're doing, you are talking to new people, sometimes you talk with people that you've known for a long time. That transition has been made, it doesn't mean that it's all that different from where we are right now. They just express it differently.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Does that help you?
Yes. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you,
I want
Donna.
You to know your dad is often going to be communicating with you, but it's that total feel, Holly, that you're going to have. It's a very, very personal, a very unique sensation. It's almost like a super-duper hug that just wraps your entire body.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for calling, Holly. How'd you find out about the show?
Well, my friend told me so, and I immediately thinking about my father because I feel so sad about his leaving, and I did not get a chance to say goodbye to him. And I always worried, where is he?
Well, may I make a suggestion to you?
Yes.
I would like to encourage you, one, to write a letter to your father. To sit
okay.
down and say everything in that letter from your heart. Now, I'll tell you what happens when you do that. People are not aware, but those on the other side that we love, love is never, ever destroyed, and there is always that communication. And he will know everything you've wanted to say. He will know that. But when you take the time to sit and write it out, or even if you just talk out loud, if you're by yourself, and you just talk to your father and you speak from your heart, you're going to know that he has heard you. And when you write it, it's as if this is going to enable you to release the sadness about your father. Your father is a man who was here for a period of time, just like you're going to be here for a period of time, I'm going to be here for a period of time. And then these chassis, they wear out or we vacate them. It's not, you know, it's just what happens in life. We all have our cycle of being here and then moving on. And the sadness, you need to be able to release it, and you need to replace the sadness with a sense of joy. And I think the writing, and maybe also doing your own personal ceremony for your father. Maybe he had his favorite music or something that really was very meaningful to him that you hold as a special memory in your heart. And write about that. But remember the joy. That he is no longer in your space does not mean that the love that he has for you still does not reach you. It does reach you, and you will know that.
Yes, that would be great to know that. Okay, I will try it. Thank you so much for your advice, Donna.
You're very welcome, and I'm so glad that you've been able to call in and be a part of the show.
Thank you.
You have a marvelous holiday season.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. Now, the telephone lines are open. 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. Also, 530-876-3222. Now, my website has the newsletter for the month. And understand, if ever you've missed a newsletter or you'd like to be able to read past issues, they're all archived on my website. So the newsletter for the month of December, including that yummy chocolate cherry cookie recipe, is on there. So go ahead and tell your friends about it, share it with them. And if you'd like to subscribe and get a free copy of the newsletter every month, just send me an email and I'll be glad to add you to the mailing list. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. Now, I want to give you information on the rest of the guests for this week. We've got a dynamic lineup. We're going to be talking about career wisdom tomorrow. John McKees. Oh, he's got some wonderful insights, especially if you're wanting to change career. Then on Thursday, we're going to be talking about the world of coins. Tom Michael, who is a world-class expert on coins, is going to be with us. And then Lisa Lockwood, we're going to be talking about this undercover angel. And boy, is she a knockout. I had the chance to meet her personally. Just an amazing, amazing woman. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. Don't you go away. We're going to be right back.
Yeah.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Well, telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. And if you're a new listener, just call in. Give me your first name or initial, and then after that, we will give you the perceptions we have, and then you're welcome to ask me about anything that you like. Or, if you prefer, like our previous caller, if you have a specific question you'd like to ask me right off the bat, we can do that, too. So here are the numbers, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Well, you know, a few days ago I was able to give some winter horoscope information to the signs of Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius. Well, hey, we've got 6 more to go. So how about Cancer, Leo, and Virgo? Now, of course, these are just generalized descriptions, but I think they're always fun to do. So let's go for those of you born under the sign of Cancer. For the next 3 months, December, well, you're going to get serious about what you want to accomplish and where you're going to go. You're going to find that there's a possibility of romance for some of those of you that are single, and it looks like you are really going to be in the gift-giving mode. So,
hello?
Oh, my goodness. It sounds like we've got a caller on the line. Caller, wait for just a moment, and I'll be right with you. For those of you under the sign of Cancer, January, pay attention to your dreams. Your ESP is going to be extra sharp, and you may get some insight into some opportunities in your particular life that you should be alert to. And in February, you are really going to be adding so much more excitement and really making things work for you in your everyday life, and guess what you're going to take care of in February? Clutter. Well, don't we all have to deal with that at one time or another? And you're also going to be making some choices about who you're going to keep company with. If somebody's of a negative mode, you're not going to want to keep that association with them. We've got a caller on the line. Caller, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Auburn, Washington.
Auburn. Hey, my territory. All right. And first name or initial, dear?
Pardon?
Your first name or your initial.
My first name is Sandy.
Okay. Now, Sandy, business is the first thing that's coming up in my mind. I'm looking at the fact that you have got a very strong direction of change that you're wanting to implement into a professional aspect of your life that I don't think you would have anticipated a year ago you would have been giving so much attention to. But you're on the mark with this, and I want to say do your due diligence. You'll be glad you are. And also, I'm seeing you having a sense of appreciation for some individuals in your life who are giving you some of the support that you need. And this is wonderful, Sandy. I think that you've released a huge burden from your shoulders. And in releasing the burden that you've been carrying for such a long time, it's as if you have a flexibility and a sensibility about your life now that is enabling you to loosen up and to move on with the changes that you want to make. Congratulations. It's taken you quite a while to make that okay to do, but you're doing a good job. What's on your mind, Sandy? What would you like to ask me about today?
Well, I have a court date on the 27th, and I'm up against really strong individuals, and I wondered how I was going to fare out on that.
Can you give me a little bit of detail? Because the first impression I'm getting is assume nothing. Assume nothing. You have strong individuals that you are going to be interacting with. And you need to really look at the justifiable positioning of your case and having your facts together. Don't assume that everybody's going to put everything in the right positioning or place. Are you there, Sandy? Hello?
Yes, I lost you.
Oh, there you are.
Okay. Yes, I lost you.
Oh, my goodness. I lost you for a while there, too, so I don't know what happened to the equipment. So let me repeat what I said. The words that I got were assume nothing. Assume nothing. It was repeated twice to me. Now, the important aspect for you to realize is that you need to really look at the cause and purpose of the positioning that you have and why you have had to take this into a court environment. And you must have all of your details, all of your facts, and your presentation clearly stated so that there's no emotion going into it. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on with the court case?
Well, I'm in a contempt of court case and with my ex-husband, and he's just lying and lying. And I don't, can't afford an attorney, but he, I guess, has quite a high-powered attorney. And I'm up against the two.
Well, you need to have your facts. You go in here, and you go in without any emotion. You deal with the facts. Now, I know we're on the air and you're not going to want to do a whole bunch with this, but you must understand, if you take an emotional positioning, do you have an attorney to represent you?
Pardon?
Do you have an attorney to represent you?
No, I don't have the money flow he has.
All right, but you need to find some kind of representation. So with the court environment, I would say you need to perhaps contact some of the legal organizations, maybe Legal Aid, or someone that might be able to assist you or give you reference to someone. But you need to be able to talk with a person that has some legal background. So instead of going in and feeling like a fish flopping out of water, you go in prepared. That he has a high-powered attorney, he has a high-powered attorney. But that doesn't mean that you do not have an opportunity to represent yourself by getting some insight from someone else. So don't slam the door on yourself.
So just try and find someone to help?
I would, and the sooner the better. When's your court case?
The 27th.
All right, you've got time here. Move on it. By the way, there might be a delay with the court case, but you need to not sit in a mental pity pot of any kind. And when I say that, I am saying it to get your attention. You need to look at this as a level of learning for you. It's not good, it's not bad. If he is lying and you have the facts and the information that will refute what he is saying, you have good cause. But you have to be assertive about this and not be the victim.
Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to be assertive. I'm just sort of reaching out as far as I can to get help, but it's not easy.
It's not easy. It's a learning curve. So put it out there. And I would contact legal aid. I would contact tell as many people as you possibly can. Say, I really need someone that has some legal expertise. My finances are limited. I must do an appearance for a court situation on the 27th. I need someone that has the thinking. Do you know of anyone that can help me?
Okay, I'll do that.
But open your mouth, ask the questions. You are not a victim here. This is going to pass, but you need to represent yourself and have a positioning of, I am not the victim. Oops, I got to go, hon. I'm out of time.
Thank you.
You are welcome. This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we had a problem there for just a moment, but we're out of time. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless you. Have a great evening. Hey, you're special, and I'm so glad to share this time with you. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
What is this chemistry? Tell me what's happening.